SBS Radio.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
And now it's that time of the week to talk everything science with the Wiradjuri woman and science journalist, Ray Johnston. Welcome back on the program, Ray.
Thanks for having me back. Excited to chat about some science and tech.
Now, researchers have developed a clean and cost-effective way to upcycle used plastic, transforming it into valuable nanomaterials and high-quality fuel.
Yeah, this is really interesting. So globally, only about 20% of all waste products, and plastics rather, are recycled. And boosting that number is a challenge because recycling plastic cleanly without adding to further pollution can be really expensive. But this new method is from researchers at RMIT University, and it can create these carbon nanotubes, these little tiny tubes, and clean liquid fuel as well. And they start with converting agricultural or organic waste into what's known as biochar. Now, biochar is a carbon-rich form of charcoal, and it's often used for improving soil health. You see it used in agriculture a lot. And the biochar is used to eliminate toxic contaminants as the waste plastic is broken down into its components of gas and oil, because that's what makes up plastic. This process, it gets rid of those contaminants entirely and it converts the plastic into that high-quality liquid fuel. At the same time, the carbon in the plastic, that's converted into those little carbon nanotubes which coat the biochar. Now, those little tubes, they're used in hydrogen storage, electronics, fuel cells, biomedical technologies. They're in growing demand, particularly in aerospace and defence. And look, while the researchers do need to do some more research to test different plastics, because the quality of the fuel that they make will vary, the method that they've developed is really suitable for upcycling any kind of polymers. Polymers are the base ingredients for all plastic. And this is a method that is clean and cost-effective and, you know, readily scalable. They can scale this up really quickly. And I think it's a really smart solution for transforming both used plastic and also organic waste. You know, whether it's tons of biomass from farms or food waste and garden clippings from household green bins is an opportunity with this, because the researchers hope that this technology, it could be used in the future by local councils to help turn that green waste into money for the councils. And look, I just think that research like this is really important as well, because Australia is banning the export of waste plastic from next year, from the middle of next year. So it's really important that we start really looking at sustainable and cost-efficient alternatives beyond just recycling in this country.
It looks like if this plastic becomes actually a raw material, well, people start investing into this opportunity and maybe clean up the oceans with the piles of mountains of plastic that's polluting and killing fish and killing our livelihoods.
Absolutely. If we can turn all of that waste into something that's actually useful and doesn't contribute to further pollution and could potentially make some councils money as well, it's really a win-win. So big shout out to the researchers at RMIT University for this one.
And a warming ocean threatens the survival of the southern right whale. Is it the white whale or right whale?
The right whale, southern right whale.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got increasing El Nino events where the ocean surface temperatures, they warm to above average temperatures, and that could threaten the recovery of the southern right whale population. So researchers, they used data dating back to the 1970s to create a computer model of the impact of El Niño events on whales. And they found that there's a higher death rate for the whales after El Niño events. Now, the researchers, they say that increasing ocean warming events could not only threaten the whales, but also cause additional climate threats, because whales play a really important role in ocean ecosystems and also in storing carbon from the atmosphere throughout their lives. So this is really interesting information to know about, and hopefully we can integrate it into conserving and looking after our southern right whales.
Wow. And one that's a bit troubling for me, it's that undocumented health problems have been discovered among those who've been exposed to bushfire smoke.
Yeah, so we've only just started to see results from studies about the, you know, the late 2019, early 2020 summer bushfires and what kind of impacts they've had on people as well as the environment. And a new study has shown that the physical and mental impact of exposure to bushfire smoke has been really vastly underestimated by official statistics. So the team, they surveyed over 2,000 residents of areas affected by the widespread bushfires close to Canberra during that summer, and they found that physical health effects were more extensive than we previously thought, and that there were very high levels also of anxiety and depression among those people. And the researchers say that it's likely that official statistics, that they greatly underestimate the prevalence of health problems because of the major hurdles in the way of anyone, you know, presenting into the system. And many residents were motivated to, you know, avoid overburdening the health system at a time that it was already stretched. You know, people didn't want to be going to the doctors to tell them about issues they were having as a result of the bushfires, be they, you know, physical health or mental health, because the pandemic had begun. And, yeah, we didn't really want to be bothering the doctors and the healthcare system at that time. So as a result, there's been more people that have been impacted health-wise by the bushfires than we were able to get data and information on. And we're only just starting to discover this now.
And finally, fish camouflage can be better without friends nearby. Is it human friends or fish friends?
Other fish friends. It's been described as kind of like a half-hearted dress-up parties. The gobies, in particular, those little fish, they don't camouflage completely when in groups. So gobies, they change colour to avoid detection by predators, and they do it faster and better when they're alone. So in the research, University of Sydney researchers, they think that it's because fish, when they're alone, are a little bit more vulnerable. And also that camouflage has a metabolic cost. So it costs the fish energy, and they're more likely to preserve the energy when, you know, because of safety and numbers, they don't need it as much. So that grouping behaviour, it can reduce the stress in fish, partly because they're in less danger of attack by predators. And this whole safety in numbers effect, it might allow them to change colour more slowly without added risk. And since stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, yeah, they're really central to that, you know, neurological mechanism, the part of the brain that makes the fish change colours. So it's possible that the stress levels also directly affect their ability to camouflage. They might not be able to do it as well when they're not as stressed. And the presence of having these other fish around, it has a calming effect that they call social buffering. I can admit to having that as well when I've got friends around, when I'm in a group, bit of social buffering. And it does have wide-reaching, you know, psychological and physiological benefits for many different species, including humans. You know, for example, people with a rich and supportive social network, they've been found to live longer and enjoy a lower risk of cardiovascular disease, for example, than people that are a bit more lonelier. So, you know, that lowered stress level because you have a group around, you know, it means that you don't have the negative impacts of that added stress. Now, even rats, when they've been exposed to new environments, they're less scared when they have a friend with them. So safety in numbers, and with lockdown lifting in many places around Australia at the moment, go hang with some friends, folks. It'll help lower your stress.
Thanks again, Reid, for bringing to us more exciting and informative science stories this week.
Thank you very much.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.